A Savior Who Is Christ the Lord, a Christmas sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin.
This child's soft infant flesh will one day be the sacrifice that pays for our sins.
And for any size year-end donation, we'll send you a CD of this sermon and a sermon preached by Todd on the Confession of Peter. You can make a year-end online gift today at issuesetc.org. Thanks for listening, and thanks for keeping us in mind at the end of the year.
Well, it is all about God and His plan for us. The Bible says God is love. Not that He has love, He is love. So life's really all about learning how to love. Learning how to love God, learning how to love each other. You know, I'm most worried about this 20-something generation that is right now without work. Talked to three people on the plane who said, you know, I went to college for 4 years, can't get a job, and now I'm told that my education really didn't matter that much. What's my purpose? Mm-hmm. And so I thought that, you know, that it was time to re-release this for a new generation. About 20% of America read the book 10 years ago, but a girl who was 12 years old is now 22.
That's Rick Warren speaking today on CBS This Morning, trying to describe what his book, now 10 years old and ready for re-release for a new generation, as he says, The Purpose-Driven Life, was really all about. He says it's all about God. In fact, the way the book begins, if you go back and read that 10-year-old bestseller, it says, it's not about you. Is that true? Joining us to talk about the 10th anniversary and re-release of the best-selling book, The Purpose-Driven Life by Rick Warren, Chris Rosebro. Chris has a degree in religious studies from Concordia University, California, and he hosts a daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back, Todd.
Rick says that the book, it was 10 years ago and still is, about God. Is that false advertising?
Yes. It's false advertising. In fact, I think it kind of falls into the category of either double speak or what's that concept from the book in 1984, double think. It's where he says one thing, but what he says is not even true. I mean, and I would point to the soundbite that you just played from his interview this morning on CBS. He was talking about the fact on the plane ride over to the CBS studios that there were several young people saying, you know, I went to college and I can't find a job, and people are telling me I went to school for nothing. What's my purpose? Well, just use plain, simple grammar. If the book is about you finding your purpose, the book is all about you. Now, he doesn't want you to find your purpose apart from God, you know, because God made you, and therefore he knows what he made you for. But the book itself is really kind of a 40-day journey of discovery to help you find your purpose. So the book is really about you.
What has we've both been thinking about this a lot in the last 10 years. We've both done, I dare say, hours upon hours of radio, if not directly about the Purpose-Driven Life, then in some way tangentially about it. What is 10 years of the Purpose-Driven Life given the church?
I'm going to be blunt. It's given us a new category of Bible twisting that on my radio program, we refer to it as narcissism, which is basically taking two terms, narcissism and eisegesis, which is reading things into Scripture that are not there, and sticking the two words together. I'm absolutely convinced that the Purpose-Driven Life, the book itself, is ground zero for this wave of people literally reading themselves into every single biblical text there is, including the ones about Jesus. And it's Rick Warren's disciples and those who basically adopted his ideas and methodologies regarding ministry and his approaches to handling God's word that are laid out for us in the Purpose-Driven Life. I think that what we've had for now 10 years is this growing epidemic of narcissistically reading ourselves into the Bible and thinking the Bible is about us.
Now, when it came out, it was brilliant. I've often pointed out, brilliantly marketed. Not that it was advertised that strongly, but the marketing plan was, Pastor, you buy this book in bulk, and yep, you do this 40-day program with your congregation. Maybe when you're done with it, you do it again. You let Rick preach at your church via the attending videos, and you keep with the program of 40 days of purpose. And that's, I think, how he sold 60 million copies of this book. But I remember, and you do as well, when it first came out, expressing my concerns on the air, and you would have thought that I was questioning Scripture. I mean, that's how dearly people held to Rick Warren's 40 Days of Purpose. What did he tap into?
That is a great question, because I think there's several different ways you can answer the question that you're asking. What did he tap into? There's one way to analyze it by basically saying, listen, evangelicalism has a very bad habit of having like mega fads that run through the whole movement. I would say before that you had like the Prayer of Jabez was like the book, you know, Lord expand my territory. And, you know, and all of the paraphernalia that went with that, that was a major fad that ran through this. But the thing is that the Prayer of Jabez pales in comparison to the purpose-driven life because it taps into a very existential question that we all struggle with and deal with. We find ourselves on a planet that is just rife with problems. Even on our best days, we don't even live up to the standards that we have for ourselves, let alone God's standards. And so all of us at one point in our life, if not many times throughout our life, throw up our hands and go, why am I even here? What is this all about? What is the purpose of me being here? Rick Warren knows that this is a very existential question that we have, and he's offering some kind of a framework for answering that question by you engaging in this process of discovery over these 40 years, where at the end of it, you're supposed to have at least some concept or way of understanding why you're here, what you're supposed to do, and then get to it. So, I mean, it really hits a very fundamental nerve that each and every one of us have at times really going off in many different ways.
Warren has insisted over the last 10 years that the purpose-driven life, for all the criticism that it has garnered from many people for various different reasons, he insists that it's essentially just the Bible's message. It's essentially just Christianity. Is that true?
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. Because here's the deal. Christianity is about Christ. And in fact, the Bible is about Christ. What this book does, and in a very, very subtle way, is completely shift the focus off of Christ and put the focus on you. God is there to help you discover why he made you so that you can get busy and get to work. And what you find is that at the height of the fad, if you go back in time, at the height of the fad where purpose-driven life was everywhere and everybody was doing it, is that there were people who were not even Christians doing the purpose-driven life to find their purpose. There were purpose-driven Muslims. There were purpose-driven Jews. There were purpose-driven atheists. I mean, and football teams and stuff like that, because the thing is that the message itself, there's nothing uniquely Christian about it. In fact, Rick Warren, you know, in that little soundbite coming into the program, talked about it's all about learning how to love God and love neighbor. Well, that's not the gospel. That's the law. And each and every one of us has the law written on our hearts, and we know that we ought to be loving God and loving neighbor, but the problem is that we don't. And his solution is that he thinks that he's given you the keys in this book to show you how you can love God and love neighbor. But I don't. The message that he gives, I don't need a crucified and risen Savior for that, and Jesus Christ and him crucified and raised again on the third day is the message of Christianity, and the purpose-driven life is not about that. It's about me discovering the thing that I need to get busy doing on this planet, the thing that God has uniquely crafted me and made me for.
Talk a bit about, and this is what I tapped into when I used to criticize it more, you know, on a regular basis. He has a view of eternal rewards that is just truly weird and unbiblical. But it's this notion, Jesus gets you into heaven.
Yeah.
But you discovering your purpose is what determines how you're going to spend eternity in heaven.
Yes, it's a very interesting thing you're teasing out here. And Rick, he likens it to, at the end of your life, there's going to be an audit. And this is the kind of language that he uses. There's going to be an audit of your life. And so the idea is you need to be more Christ-like, and that's one of the major chapters in the book, is about learning how to be Christ-like. And the idea is that based upon your purpose and how Christ-like you are, your heaven will either be a place that you will enjoy or maybe not enjoy at first, and it will determine really, what you're going to be doing in heaven and how big your status is up there. And so there's some kind of moralistic thing running through here, complete with major rewards for you discovering your purpose and achieving it.
One would think that if it's good enough to get done in 40 days here, Chris, as he promised, at the end of 40 days, you will be able to know what your purpose is. That's the purpose of the book. You'll be able to figure it out. That there would be no reason after 40 days for this book it could go on the shelf and you're done. You figured it out. But it didn't seem to work out that way. In fact, it spun out into a whole bunch of purpose-driven stuff. About a minute to respond.
Well, this is partly due to the fact that Rick Warren, by his own admission, uses these 40-day campaigns on an annual basis, and so there's different aspects that he tries to tie into it. And this was a technique that he learned, of all places, by his own admission, from the communists. This is all about kind of driving messages home and really solidifying things in people's mind, and he's always trying to continue to add to this, so there's more modules that go along with it.
All right, we'll pick up right there on the other side of the break. We're talking with Chris Roseborough on the 10th anniversary and the re-release of the best-selling book, The Purpose-Driven Life, by Rick Warren. Our call-in number on this Tuesday afternoon, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at @issuesetc. Chris Roseborough has a degree in religious studies from Concordia University, California, and he's host of a daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. We'll be right back. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Messiah Lutheran, Seattle, Washington. Grace Lutheran, McPherson, Kansas. St. Paul's Lutheran, Bridgeport, Nebraska. Our Savior Lutheran, Raleigh, North Carolina. St. Paul Lutheran, Hancock, Maryland. Messiah Lutheran, Keller, Texas. St. John's Lutheran, Maple Grove, Minnesota. Grace Lutheran, Parker, Colorado. And Our Redeemer Lutheran, Harrington, Kansas. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Here's a special offer for Issues Etc. listeners. For any size gift between now and the end of the year, we'll send you a CD of a Christmas and the Confession of Peter sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin. You can donate online, issuesetc.org. You can also contribute by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. And for any size year-end gift, we'll send you a CD of two of Todd's sermons.
Whether vacationing in Branson or boating on Table Rock Lake, Shepherd of the Hills Lutheran Church in Kimberling City, Missouri is your Christ-confessing congregation. Every week, Christ comes to us through the preached word and sacraments, by which we are strengthened and kept in the one true faith. So come to where Christ comes to you. Come to Shepherd of the Hills Lutheran Church, 103 Kimberling Boulevard in Kimberling City, Missouri. For more, see our website at sothl.com.
What we need not is religion, but a relationship. a relationship to God. Purpose-driven life is about that. It's not about a religion. It's about, how do I have a relationship? One day, Jesus was walking down the street, and somebody asked him, what's the most important thing in the Bible? He says, okay, I'm going to summarize the whole Bible in two sentences. This is it, Cliff Notes. Here on the whole Bible. Love God with all your heart. Love your neighbor as yourself. Okay, that's the vertical.
You're in a good place.
The vertical and the horizontal. And purpose-driven life talks about, how do I do both of those? How do I learn to love God with all my heart? And how do I learn to love my neighbor as myself?
Again, that's Rick Warren speaking today on CBS This Morning, describing his book, The Purpose-Driven Life, that is celebrating its 10th anniversary and a re-release of a 10th anniversary edition. It's a best-selling book. It swept Christianity 10 years ago, and he hopes for a new generation. He'll have the next generation that was too young to read it the first time reading it for the first time. Chris Roseborough is our guest. Chris, you wanted to react to something that Warren said there describing his book, The Purpose-Driven Life.
Yeah, there's so much I could say here, but let's kind of stay on topic here for a second. Two things. One, he talks about the need for us having a relationship to God. That's kind of true and not true, and here's the idea. And the idea is this, is that each and every one of us, because we have been born as a direct descendants of Adam and Eve, we have inherited their sinful nature. And each and every one of us is born with a bad relationship to God. Jesus himself makes a point of basically saying that the one who believes in him is saved, but the one who doesn't believe remains under the wrath of God. And so for Rick Warren to talk about this book is going to help you love God and love neighbor so that you can have a good relationship with God, that totally X's Jesus out of the equation, and Scripture is clear. Just read 2 Corinthians 5, that Christians have been given the ministry of reconciliation to announce to the world that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and that Jesus, literally, the one who had no sin became sin so that we can become the righteousness of God. What Rick Warren does in this book, and because of his complete lack of understanding of the biblical gospel and its mysterious missingness in the book, he literally tries to make it so that you can have a good relationship with God by you applying the techniques of finding your purpose and learning how to love God and love neighbor. Well, you can't do that. If you are going to basically think that you can somehow have a good relationship with God based upon your ability to love God and love neighbor, you're damning yourself because you need a crucified and risen Savior, because your sin separates you from God and makes you subject to the wrath of God, and you can't fix the problem. Jesus had to fix it for you by literally taking his sin upon himself for you. And that's what's missing in Warren's theology and this whole idea of finding your purpose. It throws us back on ourselves and fools us into believing that we can have a right standing before God by learning how to love God with all of our hearts and love our neighbors as ourselves by finding our purpose. We can't have a relationship with God that way. The only way we can have a good relationship with God is through the cross, and that's what's missing.
He says that Jesus summarizes the whole Bible, love God and love your neighbor. Is he rightly reading that passage?
Not even close. If you go back, and this is a story that occurs in several different gospel texts, and Jesus is being questioned by an expert in the law to basically say, what's the most important commandment? What Jesus gives there is, in his own words, is a summary of the law. That's not the good news. The law is the thing that condemns us and shows us that we need a Savior. If you were to summarize the Bible, the Bible, I think, really simply is this. It is the story of the promised seed, the promise given in Genesis 3, the promised seed who would crush the head of the serpent and restore man's relationship with God, and that promised seed is Jesus. The Bible's really all about him. That's why we're following that particular family genetic line through all of, from creation through the Old Testament all the way up to the preaching of John the Baptist. It's all about Christ. This is a story of God reconciling man to himself by him stepping into history, taking on human flesh, and suffering our punishment for him. It's all about Christ, and what he says there completely misses the whole point of what the Scripture is.
Now, many critics have pointed this out, and I'd like to give you a chance to talk about it with regard to his technique in The Purpose-Driven Life, in particular, his use of, one, various Bible translations and paraphrases, and how he kind of sets a standard for, you know, this is how you read the Bible. You find the translation that says it the way that you want it said, and then that's the one you quote. What's wrong with that?
Well, the job of a pastor is to be an exegete, and that's to explain what God's Word means, what it's read in context. He should be somebody who is expert in the original languages and in bringing forth God's Word in a way that not starting out with what you want it to say, but starting with what it says and helping to explain it. What Rick Warren does in The Purpose-Driven Life, it's an absolute hermeneutical crime that he commits. I'm absolutely convinced that there isn't a Hermeneutics 101 prof who wouldn't flunk him for what he does in that book, because what he does breaks every hermeneutical rule and principle known in any of the seminaries, and what ends up happening is he's completely unfaithful to the biblical text. But here's the thing. In order for him to craft the message that he wants, he can't possibly be faithful to the biblical text, because the biblical text doesn't teach what he's teaching in this book. So he has to find a way to make the biblical text pliable, and the way he does that is using various translations and paraphrases and quoting things out of context and weaving half verses and sentences from all of these bizarre different things in order to craft his message. He's turned the Bible basically into a wax nose that he can bend in any direction that he wants.
Now, that's been the criticism of it, but yet, can you explain to me, in spite of 10 years of people evangelically approaching him, you've actually met with the guy.
Yep.
To talk to him about this and other things.
Yeah.
He is adamant that he has nothing to retract about this teaching. As many Christians have said, please, Rick, what you are teaching is not biblical. This book may be popular and best-selling, but it's doing more harm than good. How do you explain that?
Rick justifies what he has done in this book by basically saying, all I was doing was giving people the ability to have a fresh reading of these biblical texts, because in his mind, if you become too familiar with a particular translation, then what happens is the Bible ceases to be a fresh revelation to you, and you end up not paying attention to it. And so his justification for what he did was basically, I was completely faithful to the biblical text. All I was doing was using these different translations as a means of giving a fresh reading so that people could hear the message anew. That's his explanation, and to which I say, "Pa, it's patently not true, and it's objectively possible to demonstrate that what he's done is absolutely twist and mangle God's word." And there are many theologians, professors, and others, people who have taken the time to demonstrate objectively that what he's done is really mangle and butcher God's word.
With only 30 seconds, a pastor who says, hey, I'm thinking about doing 40 Days of Purpose again. We did it 10 years ago. It was a big hit in the congregation. And, we can take the good and leave out the bad of what Warren may be teaching. 30 seconds to respond.
No, I'll use your illustration. How much arsenic do you prefer in your water when you drink it? Would you prefer bottled water that's fresh and doesn't have any arsenic in it, or is it okay if I just put some arsenic into your bottled water? I mean, isn't pure water overrated anyway? And plus, people might like the taste. This is no way of doing and teaching the Bible. In fact, this is absolutely forbidden by God's word. We're not to teach false doctrine. We're only to teach that which is in accord with sound doctrine. That is what the Scripture says. And we're only to preach what Christ has commanded, and that's his own command. And to mix it with false doctrine, that is a deadly cocktail that sends people to hell.
With about 10 seconds, what are you talking about tonight on Fighting for the Faith?
Oh, we're going to be talking about Stephen Furtick's mishandling of the story of Elisha and the Shunammite woman and how he narcegetes this text.
Folks, you can listen to Fighting for the Faith 1 hour from now at piratechristianradio.com. Chris Roseborough has a degree in religious studies from Concordia University, California, and he's host of the daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, thanks.
Thank you.
Folks, how would you like to receive a CD with 23 hymns and a CD with sermons that I've preached on the birth of Christ and on the confession of St. Peter? We'll send you these two resources for any size year-end donation to Issues Etc. You can donate by check, make your check payable to Issues Etc., and send it to Issues Etc., Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a year-end tax-deductible gift online at issuesetc.org. Now, we have 5 weeks left in the year, and we're currently $63,000 short of making budget this year. Our listeners have done it four times in the past. They can do it again this year. So consider supporting Issues Etc. with any size gift in the last 5 weeks of this year. Thanks for listening, and thanks for keeping us in mind at the end of the year. When we come back, it's hour two of Issues Etc. this Tuesday afternoon. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse of the Ruth Institute will join us. There's a recommendation by the American Academy of Pediatricians to allow Plan B to be prescribed to teens. We'll see what Jennifer thinks about that. Then Tom Baker will join us. We'll teach a Sunday school lesson, The Birth of John the Baptist Foretold.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Have you heard of the CLCC? In Hosea 4, we see, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." The Confessional Lutherans for Christ Commission can help educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. We treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Lutherans would if they learn what we believe, teach, and confess. So visit our website, www.theclcc.org. Check out what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And maybe encourage your pastor to hold a seminar in your area. Just go to theclcc.org.
In a world awash with all sorts of information, opinions, and ideas, there is still a place where God's Word is the central and only focus. Messiah Lutheran Church, 801 North Madison, Lebanon, Illinois. At 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings, God's people gather there to listen to Him. There you will find His words of law and gospel, and of course, our Lord's Holy Supper. Bible classes focus on the Bible and the Lutheran confessions. Come, listen, believe, and live, and check out our website at messiahlebanon.org.